In your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look in some verses there and hope it'll be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 5. Lord, I pray you just be with us tonight as we open up your word and help us, Lord, just to be attentive and spiritually in tune, Lord. Holy Spirit, just help us to not be distracted, Lord, but to be desiring, Lord, to hear and to listen and to understand and be able to grasp and apply the truths from the Word of God tonight. Lord, help us to realize we're here for you, Lord, and for you alone. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for giving us a place to serve, Lord, in this church being here, this place in Kentucky, Lord, all you've provided for us in our daily lives, Lord, but help us to be mindful. It's all for naught if we're not serving you the way we should. Help us to be obedient. Help us to look forward to seeing you someday and wanting to be pleased there as well, not to be ashamed, Lord, but to be pleased there as well when we see you and we get rewarded for serving you the way we should have. Help us, Lord, to be mindful, to love you all the time, Lord, and just realize just how much we have with you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As I travel on the road to work and back on the highway, I got about a little less than an hour travel time one way, depending on traffic. And I just, thoughts generally start to go toward other drivers every once in a while, and I just see things they do, and just I'm amazed that they're still driving. And that's, and I just kind of mindful of how I, when I was taught years ago in driving school, and I had to go to summer school to learn driving class because they only taught it in the summertime, and we used the principal's old 73 Dodge Polara, four-door baby blue. Thing was a beast. It was the principal's car. We all knew that was the principal's car when he drove around the property on the school grounds, and that was what we learned how to drive in as a kid, and I was in high school then, and I would just, you just, they don't, I don't think they learn the same things anymore. And it's really not their fault. It just, things have changed so much since when I was, even when I was just learning how to drive. I mean, I got my license when I was 15. Legally had a driver's license. Of course, I was in North Carolina. My dad was stationed at Fort Bragg. They had their own DMV on the post. I remember I went out there and took my driver's license test with that black guy. And we came back in the room. My dad was sitting in there waiting. The guy walked in and goes, "Sarge, sorry to tell you." He said, "What happened?" He said, "He passed." just things seem so much different. I mean, when I was taught to drive, they taught us how to use road flares. You know, how to, when you get stranded, you pull over, you have to do this with the road flare. You've got to go 100 feet down, put your first one down, go back 50 feet more, put another one down, then 25 feet, then you put another one down, then you go to your car. You got to mark it that way so people can know that closer they get together, closer to where your car is going to be. And they taught you how to use those, how to place them on there, taught you what to do when you get a spare tire, you know, what to do, where to go, and all the different things. They taught you safety, stuff like that. And nowadays, I don't think they teach that anymore. And matter of fact, most new cars don't even have a spare tire. They don't. I mean, if you get a flat, I guess they have like a can of Fix-A-Flat or something, just stick it in there and get to the next gas station. I don't know what you do, but they don't even have flat spare tires anymore. They used to have the donuts, you know, which are good for like, you know, 50 miles, only if you go 55 miles an hour maximum. But now they don't even have those in cars anymore. The technology is different. I'll grant them that. Cars are made a little bit different now. Most of them are plastic and aluminum. They're a lot lighter weight. The tires can handle a lot more stress now. They got run flat tires now that they put on cars. I mean, you run over a nail and it'll still go 50 miles an hour without even batting an eye. Just things are different now. So they don't teach a lot of stuff. But I believe that when we were taught how to use road flares and how to use them, I believe that correlates with our Christian life in a way that I want to bring out tonight. Years ago, they taught us how to do that for our safety. We had to do that for our safety. When you pulled over and you were stuck and you were stranded, you pulled over and you got the flares, you put them out there to protect yourself, protect oncoming traffic, and it's just something, a procedure you were taught how to do to protect yourself and also let people know what was going on. And of course, we didn't have cell phones. It allowed you to be able to make the walk to the gas station or whatever it is to get to a phone, to make a call, while you're not there, the car is protected because the flares are doing what you cannot do in one place, more than one place at a time. So, but they were there to help us. They helped with protection, and they provided protection for you and the car and the situation, and protecting all the oncoming traffic as well. And it was something that was understood in the past. When you saw those red glowing lights, you knew what that was. It was a road flare. It wasn't some big firecracker. It was a road flare. You stayed away from it. You went to the lane. You went around it. And, you know, you knew what it was. And what was good about those things, they would even burn in the water. And the rain would come down. It'd still burn. Those things were kind of cool. But now you don't see them a whole lot. They used to be in the back of your car. Spare tire, road flares. You had your four-way lug wrench and stuff. That was all standard issue in the back of a car. Not anymore. What do you got in the back of the car now? They got this little cloth webbing stuff that you put bags in and it bungee cords across, and you got this round circle thing with a little thing, and then you pull it up, and underneath that there's a donut there. It's supposed to be a spare tire, and it's all about cargo space and carpeting and all this other stuff in the trunks now. I mean, don't get my trunk dirty. Years ago, they said, just throw it in the trunk. It didn't matter. A lot of things are different now. They just are. In that respect, and in our Christian life, Christians years ago, they understood about prayer, real prayer, not what you do before you eat a meal, but real prayer, and about holy living. They understood about that and the necessity of that. Not so much now. And again, I think it's because of things that have changed so much around us. I mean, today we take for granted so much. We take for granted that we can go to church. If there's a church service scheduled, we can go to church. There's no problem. As long as I got gas in the tank, you know, as long as I can get there, we can go to church service. We take for granted that we can just pray anywhere we want to. Something happens, we can call on the Lord and pray. We take for granted that to have a Bible and to read it. We just take that for granted. We just expect it to be there. We take for granted that we can preach and hold signs of the gospel to people as they go by, driving down the road or on a street corner somewhere. We just take for granted we have the freedom to do that. We just know. We take for granted we can go door knocking, invite people to church and visit, talk to them about the Lord. We just take it for granted. That's just it's accepted. It's part of our life. Take for granted that we can profess Jesus Christ anywhere we go, whether it's in a restaurant or we see somebody we can talk to, hey, you know, do you know the Lord, whatever, you can talk to them about the Lord, you just take that for granted. We take for granted of living the life as a Christian the way we do. We just take it for granted. We expect it to be allowed. But years ago, it wasn't in this country in which we live. I can take you right now to Chesterfield County, Virginia, where they still have the jailhouse, where a Baptist preacher was jailed for preaching without a license. They put him in jail, and his church people came out to hear him preach out the jail window, because there was a window, you know, bar window, and he would preach out that jail window, and they would listen to him preach. And the prisoners got so not the prisoners, but the jail, the people in charge of jail, police, whatever, they got mad at that, so they had a wall built around the jail where they couldn't see the window anymore. The people couldn't see the window, and he couldn't see it, but just a big wall. So he would still go out there and preach, and what the people did is they got this long pole, and they put a rag on top of it, and they'd stand it up above the wall, and they'd wave it and say, "We're here, go ahead and preach." And he'd preach through the window to them over the wall. This happened in America in the 1700s, in Chesterfield, Virginia, and I can take you to the jailhouse right now. It's still there. We take for granted a lot in our Christian walk that people died to give us. We think about that with the Word of God, and rightfully so. But there's a reason that we're very apathetic and very weak and powerless as Christians today, is because we're used to what was fought for. And we need to realize we are losing those freedoms right now. And we are so wrapped up in not offending people, not offending those around us, that we won't even stand our ground to fight to keep them, most Christians. So So today I want you to look at Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse number 13. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all them that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Those still apply today. We don't really live like it anymore. We teach this little story to the kids, you know, "Let your light so shine," little songs and little ditties like that. But the fact of the matter is, we're the salt of the earth. But it says, "But if the salt have lost his savor," that's where we're at. We're Christians with no savor. When Christians would walk into a room, people would act differently years ago. When people would drive by a church house, it would be completely empty, but they would act differently as they drove by or walked by. Not anymore. It's not because God has gotten any weaker or he's senile and he's ready for, you know, the old folks home or anything. It's not because of him. It's because of the lack of power in Christians today. Lack of power of God in our lives. Because people can't see God. He's a spirit. Spirits are invisible. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. People can't see God, so they can't see, you know, him not being there. What they see is you and I. That's why Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5, "Ye are the salt of the earth." He also says, "Ye are the light of the world." And then he says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men." Let your light shine. Well, your light can't shine if you have no power. I mean, how many times have you picked up a battery and it didn't work? I mean, not a battery. I'm sorry. Flashlight. And you picked it up and it just, the first thing you do is you push the button and you say, "Well, how come it don't work?" The batteries are dead. You already know the answer, but you say it anyway because you're upset and you go, "Why not? You want to vent." But anyway, how many times have you done that? Picked up a flashlight and it didn't work. Are you, in that moment, pretty happy? No, because you're looking for a flashlight because there's a massive need. Either the lights went out, or you lost something, or both. And when it didn't work the way it's supposed to work, you're not happy. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." And we all understand and realize that any good work done for the Lord is done by him through us. And it says here that they may see those things and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not you glorifying your Father. That's to be expected. But they're talking about the people as they see your good works in your life. The way you do what God wants you to do in your life. And you go to church, you spend time in prayer, you treat your wife the correct way, you treat your kids the right way, you do things correctly on the job, and you just do things correctly. They see that, and they glorify your Father which is in heaven. So they glorify your Father. They don't use his name as a swear word in your face and taunt you with it, which they do today. And it doesn't matter where you work. You could work for the government. You could work for Hillbilly Bob selling rutabagas on the side of the road. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares about God anymore. They have no fear of God. They have no respect for God. And it's not God's fault. His salt has lost its savor. We've lost our savor. We're not letting our light shine. Why? Because the battery's dead. There's no connection. There's no power of God in our life anymore. We're like the drawer full of flashlights that do nothing. Every one you pick up, it's dead. It's dead. What good are they? What's amazing is we will put them right back in the drawer, and then that makes you think. Right? You put them right back in there, and you get mad, and you close the door, and then the next time you didn't, pick the same one back up again. Interesting. But anyway, let your light so shine. Years ago, people literally depended on God for their very livelihood, for their own lives. They depended on God for their family, for their health, for everything, for their clothing, for their crops to grow, for their cattle or hogs or whatever it is, chickens to lay eggs or whatever it is. They depended on God for everything. They prayed for good weather for the crops to come in. They prayed for the rain not to be too bad so it wouldn't flood out the back 40 and they could plant later. Everything was dependent upon God in prayer. Everything was. If mom's birthday was coming up, the children would get together and they'd pray and say, God, please help us to be able to do something. We can make something for mom or get something for mom for her birthday. The kids would even go to God for stuff. But not anymore. Just like those road flares. If I walked up and down the streets of Ashland, Kentucky, and I held a road flare in my hand, I guarantee you before I walked 1 mile, somebody would call a cop and think I had a piece of dynamite and I was a terrorist. Because they are so ignorant, they don't even know what the road flare is. Amen. Christians today are very ignorant. They're ignorant of the very principles they say they profess from this book. We manifest this ignorance in many ways, but the biggest way is we have a lack of power of God in our lives. When something happens, the last thing we think of is talking to God about it. When something bad happens, we say, what does the checkbook say, honey? Well, can't go there. How much we got left on the plastic card, honey? Well, we can't go there. Well, anything left we get in hawk in the pawn shop? No, well, I don't know what we're going to do. Better call your uncle, or you just go down the list. And I'm talking about Christian people doing this. The world, you expect that from the world. They have no other avenue. But Christians do the same thing. They have no light to those around them. They have no light to their own family. They have no light to their kids, their wives, their husbands. There's no light there. They're in darkness, but they're children of light, living in darkness. He says in verse 14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give it light to all them that are in the house. Normally, we understand the principle that when there's a light, nobody wants to cover it up. They want it to get the job done. That's what the light's for. So help us to be able to see. The way our eyes are designed and made and put together, we process light waves to be able to see what we see. We have to have light. Bats do it with sonar and different things, and God's just incredible how he does that with them critters there. But we need light. Our eyeballs work with light. They process light. It's understood when you have a light, you set it out there for everybody else to see. Christmas time, we put those lights on our house, not so we can, see the house, but we want to transmit a message of, you know, it's Christmas time, the lights are used to get attention. Look at my house. Look at the whatever it is that you did with your lights on your house, whether you got the icicles or you got the old-fashioned ones, you know, whatever, or maybe you got them around your tree in your yard. The lights are there to get their people's attention, saying, look over here. Look at my house. Look at this. And then you have, hopefully, a gospel something there saying about Jesus Christ or a cross or a nativity scene or something like that. But you do that to get people's attention. You want them to see. Light is used for people to see. And in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see something. Well, if our lights are not shining, people can't see. Do you understand that? That's a principle that we need to get. If our light is not shining, people are not going to be able to see. It doesn't matter what you do for the Lord in your life. As you got your little checklist for you're doing for God, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. If you're not living, living a life of prayer and praying and seeking God's face and in the Word of God and living a holy life and depending upon God the way you should, you don't have the power. Your works are not benefiting anybody, including yourself, by the way, because the Lord's not doing them through you. You're just going through the motions, and your light is there for them to be able to see your works as God works through you in your life. The brother Tom made mention this morning of her, of your testimony as you're going through cancer. You're in Lowell's both testimonies. You're going through cancer. That was an avenue to shine your a light to us as well as your family members and those around you. God was able to use that to get the attention to him, and rightfully so. But that's what we should be doing all the time. It's not like this is a part-time option for us. Ye are the salt of the earth. That is our designation. That is our lot in existence, which we are. But if the salt have lost his savor, which is where we are now, useless salt, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing. Amen. And as far as God's concerned, most of his children are good for nothing. He can't use them to get anything done. They've lost their savor. And it's because we're so used to having things so easy. We're used, like I said, to going to church, having a place to go to church. We're just used to it. We expect it. We're used to being able to pray anywhere we are. We're at the restaurant, we're in the grocery store line, something happens, you're just used to having the freedom to be able to pray out loud, to have the freedom to and read your Bible anywhere you are. We just expect that to happen. But it was not always like that. People went through a lot of things, and those things helped strengthen their walk with the Lord, and they had power with God, because they depended on God. We don't anymore. Just think about it. When was the last thing in your life where that one specific item, you 100% totally and without a doubt, you depended totally on God for that one item? And if God had not come through, or he did not come through, it's still not happened yet. When was the last time that happened to you? It should be every day. Every day you wake up in the morning, you should be depending upon God. Depending on God for you to flip your feet over and get on the floor. Depending upon God to get up there and cook your scrambled eggs and bacon or whatever you else like to eat, and sit on and enjoy them. Depend on God to get through the day, to walk to the grocery store, to get your victuals and go to the gas station. Whatever you got, depend on God. And as you're going, you're talking to God. You're letting your light so shine. When people see you walk by, you're dressed like a Christian's supposed to dress. You're not looking like some hellion or some mental ward escapee. Amen. Christians today are undiscernible from the world. That's a fact. I'm not really amazed anymore. I'm kind of just disgusted. I don't even ask anymore. But people come to work, and then I realize that they say something, and I say, wow, that's a Christian. Whew, wow. Because you couldn't tell. I mean, literally. There's people that I work with, and they literally do look like an escapee from a mental ward. And they walk around in public like that on purpose. It's amazing. It really is amazing, the patience and long-suffering that God has with us. It is just amazing to me. Because today we take so much for granted, and we have no idea what it means to depend upon God for our next meal, for our next crop, for our next baby being delivered, for our next little one to be healed, for our next situation to be taken care of in the house, or to fix this broken thing, whatever. We have no idea what it is. No idea at all. And we have like a romantic attachment to stories and accounts and biographies of people that went through that years ago, but it's more like a romantic attachment to literature than an actual attachment to our spiritual life the way it should be. We are not the Christians we should be. And I'm right there with you, right in the middle of the pile. I am, believe me, I am not what I should be. And it's because we're so used to getting everything we need. When somebody says something bad about us, we get mad. They shouldn't be allowed to say that bad about us. Why? They're not saved. They're on the way to hell. They hate you. They hate your God. What do you expect them to do? But they should have respect. Why? Because of this and this, but why? They don't know any difference. You're not giving any light to show any difference. So what do you expect? I mean, we're living on the lees or the remnants, the lasting remnants of what our forefathers fought and lived and died for. We're living on the remnants of that right now. We're enjoying the benefits of that right now as Christians. And when something bad happens, we say, oh my goodness, can't believe that was on TV. What do you expect? We need to on our face, we need to be on our face every day and just thank God for His mercy. Every single day. Because we are so far from what we need to be. We complain. If you just think about it, what we complain about to God is beyond laughable. I mean, really. It really is. Do you complain half as much or talk to God half as much about your unsaved family? We'll cry watching some stupid television movie or TV movie that's made to draw the tear jerkers, I call them. We'll cry over something like that, and I'm right there with you. I mean, I don't like that, but it does happen. I'm flesh, and we won't cry over unsaved people. We won't cry over the unsaved escaped lunatics out there running around. You know, we won't cry over their soul. We'll just look at them and say, my goodness, how can they do that? Well, what do you expect? And we're not letting our light shine. We're just right there with them. I'm dressed nearly that bad. There's a little bit of a difference, but there's no light. That's the problem. There's no light. It's not what we do, how good we gussy ourselves up or what we do and whatever. There's no light. You're a dead battery. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you make it look, it's still dead. What good is it? We're supposed to be we are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. Turn it on and let the other people see it. It's not supposed to be a private little, you know, little pup tent Christianity that you just light up for God, and only when you have prayer time you'd light up for the whole world every day 24/7. But we don't light up because there's no power. We don't pray and talk to God like we should. We don't spend time in the Word of God like we should. We don't live holy and lives like we should. And I'm right there with you. Again, I'm part of the same problem. But it still needs to be said. It needs to be recognized. It needs to be dealt with in our hearts. It still needs to be done. Like the Old Testament prophets, he said, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He's right there with him, but he still had to say what was right to say. He still got to say what's right. And as I stand behind this pulpit, I've still got to do what God told me to say to you and to me because it's right. And we need to hear it because it's about Him. It's not about me. It's not about this area that we live in, even though I like it. It's pretty. I love Kentucky. It's a pretty state. A lot of animals out here. It's just green. It's just gorgeous country. I imagine coming over here, you know, with a pack mule and a horse year, like 200 years ago, like these guys did, and having a rifle in their hand that shoots one time, black powder rifle, and maybe like 50, maybe 50 shots if they're fortunate, 50 shots and some powder, and just eking out an existence out of the woods, fighting the Indians to stay alive, fighting the Indians for some food, fishing for your victuals. I mean, praying God will get you through the next day because you got bit by a snake. Praying God will keep you. I mean, just depending upon God like those people did. I imagined about that stuff. And those people knew God. Those people, maybe they couldn't even read and write their own name. And most of them couldn't. But they knew God. And they knew that that guy coming down carrying that black book was a preacher. And everybody gave him respect because he was God's man. They knew that. Why? Because they knew God. We need to let our light shine, but it won't shine if we don't have any power. So what we need to do is get hooked up to the power source. And I'm not saying get saved. You need to be saved, obviously, but you don't get saved over and over and over again. That's a lie. You get saved and just get right with God. Just get right with God. Desire God more than you desire your next meal. Desire God more than you desire your next cup of coffee. Amen. You're saying you're meddling now. Well, so be it. Desire God like that, and your life will be different. God will have a light. Won't that be a blessing? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. People in this dying world around us, your loved ones, your family, your kin, living their lives around you, and you're snuffed out for Jesus. What a blessing that is, huh? Oh, you mean Grandma was a Christian? Wow, I didn't know that. As they're burying you in the dirt. Let your light so shine. He tells us, he says, you are the light, let it shine. And I know there's a stupid song out there that probably says those same words, but this is scripture here, and it's a command for you and I. Let it shine before men so they can do something with what they see, and that something is glorify God by doing what? Getting saved. They can obey the gospel and get saved, just like you did. You got saved and you glorified God by saying yes to Him. You obeyed the gospel, you glorified God. And that's what God wants. He wants the honor and glory to go to Him. And we are very contingent on that happening with other people, if you read that verse right there. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works as God does them through you, and they're going to glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what God wants. That's why He wants you to shine. For Him to get the glory, not you. I've had some pretty cool flashlights over the years. Most of them get stolen. But anyway, I've had some pretty nice flashlights. But I've never once stuck it on a shelf. You know, made it nice and pretty and put a little mant on the mantelpiece and just kind of sat there and just gave reverence to the stupid flashlight. I never done that. I just used it when I needed it. That's what we are. We're a light for the Lord. We need to be usable. We need to have the power of God, so we're going to light like we should. Why? So God can get the honor and glory through us with those other people, because they're in darkness. Now you say, but couldn't God do something? Yeah, He could do anything He wants to, but He chose to do it this way. And we're in this verse whether you want to be or not. So you either realize you're the light, you're going to shine for the Lord, or you're not going to, and you're going to keep on rebellion for life and see how that works out for you. Because God is not stupid. People years ago, they knew what it was to depend upon God. I mean, for everything. There was no store. There was no newspaper. There was no post office. There was no phone. There weren't even any roads, for crying out loud. They depended on... Listen, when Dad would take Junior, 14 or 12 years old, out on a hunting trip, Mom's praying that they come back alive. That's what they did. That's how they lived. We don't have no power because we're just so used to having everything handed to us. We got a Bible, we got a church we can go to, we got nice pews, we got heat, praise the Lord, we got a new thermostat, and there's nothing wrong with those things, but we're so used to having it all right here for us. We're spoiled. We have not fought for any of it. We have not prayed for any of it. We have not besought God for any of it. We hardly ever thank God for any of it. But we're just receiving all the blessings of years of years of years of people living for the Lord. And now we just expect that's the way it is. It's hallelujah. It's great. It's easy. No, it's not. Talk to those missionaries. Talk to ones in South America, in Africa, in Tibet, in Mongolia. It's not easy. They're living what was here 100 years ago, 200 years ago. They're living that for the Lord right now. Some of them. And they know the Lord. Missionaries are not more spiritual because they go far away. They're more spiritual because they depend on God every day. That's why they're more spiritual. And rightfully so. God is a spirit. You want to be more spiritual? Depend on God. He's the source. Amen. Just as the road flares provided protection years ago, prayer and a holy life provide the power of God. And that's what we need. You can't be lights without power. You can't. It's impossible. It's bow our heads and close our eyes. Pretty much done. I need to talk to God and spend some time in prayer. Hope you do the same in your pew or up here. Makes no difference to me, but don't let this message go in one ear and out the other. Let God do business with you in your heart right now, please, and just talk to God. Let Him minister to you now as the Holy Spirit comes down. Let's pray.